Enjoy listening to your podcasts.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Israel is on high alert for an escalation of tensions with Hezbollah after a senior Hamas leader was killed in a Beirut drone strike. Former President Trump's legal team officially appealing to Maine's Supreme Court, trying to overturn the decision by Secretary of State Shenna Bellows to keep him off the ballot there. Bellows says she was just doing her job.
I reviewed the weight of the evidence in the hearing and made the determination that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment does apply to the president, and that the events of January 6th were not only tragic, but qualified as an insurrection, and happened at the behest of and with the knowledge and support of the outgoing president.
President Biden, back from his New Year's trip, as the White House says, negotiations on border funding are moving in the right direction. Investigations underway into the fiery collision between a passenger plane and a smaller Coast Guard plane on a Tokyo runway earlier this week. This is ABC News. Out at Harvard, President Claudine Gay. She announced her resignation after just 6 months in office amid accusations of plagiarism and controversy over her testimony on anti-Semitism before Congress. More legal trouble for New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez. He is already accused of using his office to help Egypt. And now, says ABC's Aaron Katursky, he is charged with illegally helping another country.
According to prosecutors, Menendez has been continuing to receive things of value from the Qataris. At one point, the new indictment says that Menendez was offered luxury wristwatches, among other things, worth between $10,000 and $24,000.
For the first time ever, Philadelphia is being led by a woman, Mayor Sherelle Parker, sworn in as the city's 100th mayor and its first woman. And that was one expensive drink. The NFL has now fined the owner of the Carolina Panthers, David Tepper, $300,000 for throwing a drink on a fan at the Jacksonville Jaguars game during the Sunday's game. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Dane County judge ruled Tuesday that election clerks can accept absentee ballots that are missing part of a witness's address. The judge ruled that so long as the clerks can discern how to reach the witness from available information, those ballots are acceptable. In 2022, a Waukesha County judge ruled that clerks are no longer allowed to fill in missing witness information. Tuesday's ruling provides uniform rules for how clerks should handle those absentee ballots, says the group that brought the lawsuit. After 3 consecutive years of record-breaking numbers of shootings in Milwaukee, the numbers declined in 2023. Gun crimes are still roughly double that of pre-pandemic levels. As of December 27th, there were 171 homicides in 2023. That's 20% lower than the record 215 homicides in 2022. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Badgers beat the Iowa Hawkeyes. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers with a conference win over Iowa, 83-72 at the Kohl Center. Max Klesmit on how valuable Kamari McGee was as a substitute in the game.
Having a guy like that that can come off the bench and spark it, life into us, I think it carried over the second half big time. And, you know, that's a credit to Cam and just how much he works, keeps his head down, doesn't let the naysayers, you know, get to him or what other the outside noise says. He's really focused individual, and I'm super proud of him, the way he's handled himself.
The Badgers have now won three in a row. Head coach Greg Gard.
And that's the neat part about watching a team come together. As a coach, you can't orchestrate everything. A lot of that chemistry has to be organic. This group has got some good things going.
NFL former Packers center Ken Bowman has died. Bowman played 10 seasons for Green Bay from 1964 to 1973, including three NFL championships. Bowman snapped the ball to Bart Starr on his quarterback sneak to win the Ice Bowl. Kenny Bowman was 81. For sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be cloudy today with a little sunshine trying to poke through by mid to late afternoon. Our high today, 34, with wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear. We're going to drop down to around 14 overnight. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 27. On Friday, another cloudy day with a high of 33. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay, and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning. Hello, everybody. Mr. Mayor has the day off. We sent him out of here yesterday, didn't we, Todd? Just get out of here. Just go.
Get out of here.
Get out of here.
I think he went straight to bed when he got out of here yesterday.
I bet. So he's got just one of those nagging coughs. It just won't go. He feels fine, but it just, sometimes those things will settle in your chest or whatever, and they just set there, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Todd, question to ask you. For me, I've got a very special guest. I've got a great lineup of guests here today. Tom Drzewicki is going to be joining us here in a minute from Bayside Ice and Recovery. I think this is such an important thing to talk about. Sooner or later, we're going to get ice on top of the water, and inevitably things happen that can be life-threatening, and Tom has spent his entire career helping those people out. So very, very interesting. That's going to be Dr. Kristen Lyerly is going to be joining us for some healthy New Year's advice. And my buddy Burke Griffin at 7:30 is going to be joining us to talk about the Packers situation, everything that's gone on there. So a great lineup. But I have to ask this one quick question. When's the last time you really – and actually, I shouldn't even say this about you, Tom, or Tom, maybe I'll ask you this. When's the last time you really felt old? Just have to ask you that question.
I being a commercial fisherman my whole life, I'm pretty active, pretty healthy.
Okay.
So sometimes my brain feels older than my body.
Okay, because so. I had a situation last night, which was, oh my gosh, I'm literally that guy that when you're younger and you're waiting on somebody and it's like, grandpa. Okay.
Get moving kind of thing.
Went to the movies last night.
Oh.
Haven't been to the movies in a long time. Saw the movie Boys in the Boat about the rowing team for the 1936 Olympics.
Yeah.
Great movie. Great movie. So I'm there and I put my thing in and she goes, okay, white's available, green, or white's green's available, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, okay. Thanks. Sir, white's available, green's available, blah, 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 blah. I go, okay. She says, well, you have to pick one. I said, what do you mean? She says, yeah, sir, you have to pick your seat. Oh, I didn't know that. When did they start this?
I don't go to a lot of movies, but I will tell you that sounds exactly like the same exchange I had about maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I think they really started doing it around COVID.
Okay.
So when that kind of came out, you were able to pick seats and stuff like that. But you have to do that before you walk in. I remember just...
And then how do you remember where exactly...
That's the other piece of the puzzle. That's the other piece of the puzzle, remembering where you chose.
There's no way. And then I think somebody was sitting where I chose, and then do I tell the person, hey, I think you're in my seat, or you just kind of wander around?
Right.
Wow, did I feel like that guy.
It doesn't take much.
No,
it doesn't take much to feel really old real fast.
But that one was like beyond anything I've experienced ever. Because she did one of those.
Oh, sir. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you get when you get the sigh.
Got the sigh.
And maybe a little bit of an eye roll.
Got the eye roll.
Yeah. Then you're old.
Got the sigh. Got the eye roll. She had a little hook in her nose type of thing. It's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I've become that guy.
Oh, yeah. I feel bad for you because I don't know that there's anything worse than walking away feeling like that.
No, I felt like that. Wow. Good movie, though.
Was it good?
Yeah, very sentimentally kind of, you know, it's kind of predictable, but good movie. Great acting and everything like that. I enjoyed it. Boys in the Boat about the 1936 United States Olympic rowing team. Cool. So, yes, I could be a rower, I think.
Now, am I playing the part of Todd this morning or Jim? Because Jim would give you crap about that.
Give me both.
Okay. Well, I would think, you know, you probably have some pretty good upper body strength, right?
Well, and good legs. It's the legs.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize
the big push.
That.
Yeah.
Well, you got that bad hip.
Yeah. Okay.
Be going down the water, squeak it all the way down.
Could have been, I said. That thing get rusty.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could have been.
Okay, now Jim.
John, You can't do that. You can't even do 200 steps a day. You're not going to be rowing in a boat.
Perfect. Thank you. I feel better.
Yeah.
All right. So Tom Drzewicki is with us today. Tom, Bayside Ice and Recovery. Thanks so much for making the drive in from Suamico, Tom. We used to talk when I was in TV about coming out on some of your things.
Some of the missions, yes.
Some of the missions. Just go ahead, briefly describe what you do once the ice forms over the water in northeast Wisconsin.
Well, we basically have all the equipment to pull out anything from the smallest snowmobile, four-wheelers, UTVs now, cars, trucks.
How about $52,000 trucks?
Oh, yes. It doesn't matter if it's if it's a $100 truck or a $90,000 brand-new diesel pickup truck. Mother Nature doesn't care. If you're falling through, you're falling through.
You know, I learned to respect ice from Big Al Sampson.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, Big Al had a throat issue, so he couldn't yell or anything like that. So, Al, two things he would always do. When we were on ice, we had to have the windows down.
Yes.
You had to make sure you weren't hooked in anything so you could open the car door.
Right.
Okay? And he'd always carry an air horn with him, compressed air horn.
Yes.
And he was very adamant, when you're on ice, you respect the hell out of that ice.
Oh, yes. It changes by the minute.
That's the thing, Tom. You know, you can have a report and say, you know, 14 inches of ice out on Shawnee Lake or something like that. But it doesn't matter if it's 14 inches of ice. There are so many other factors that come into play during the course of that day that it could change by the hour, couldn't it?
Yes.
Could you describe that a little bit?
Well, every lake or body of water, there could be, you could have 2 feet of ice. It could be a 10 below zero, and there's going to be areas on that lake or that body of water that has 2 or 3 inches or none at all.
Why is that?
Well, it's sandbars, it's currents, like Lower Green Bay when the power plant was still in operation, the whole Lower Bay would be open for two miles out there because of the warm water coming from the power plant.
Yeah.
Yes. So that Lower Bay was very treacherous. Now it kind of freezes up around the mouth of the river.
But people get excited if they see other people out there at times, don't they? Oh, it must be good. Look at that guy's out there in his ATV and everything. And
yes, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, they see one, two people out there. They decide it's their turn.
Yeah. What's the number one safety thing you would tell people, especially, I mean, I assume we're going to get ice this year at some point, but you've never seen anything like this, obviously, right?
Never. Nothing... I've seen the Green Bay where it's been open this time of year, even into the second week of January, but never smaller lakes and the rivers that are still open right now.
So with that being said, you know some people are, because it is a popular sport.
Yes,
it is. Say what you want. It is as popular of a sport as you'll find up here, especially for the winter, and people are just itching to get out, especially, you know, I know a lot of the older guys, retired guys, and, you know, maybe they don't have a boat where they get out in the summer, but boy, by God, in the winter, they can get out to wherever they want to go, and they're going to be itching, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
And what can that lead to?
Well, in a normal winter, starting sometimes Thanksgiving, ice starts to form. This year, we are a full 5-6 weeks behind our ice making. We had a little bit of ice to start, and we lost all of it.
Yeah.
So right now, first week of January, we're starting basically from scratch.
Well, talk a little bit about how somebody could go out in the morning. They might get a report and say, no, there's, you know, X number of inches of ice in a certain place. Talk how that can change from the time they get there till like noon, and then let's say 4 o'clock when the sun finally goes down.
Well, an example, close to Christmas, a week ago, there might have been some people out on the ice going out on 4 or 5 inches. Some lakes had a little bit. Well, when you get a temperature in the 50s and the sun is out, you will lose ice as the day goes. You might be on 4 or 5 inches of good blue ice in the morning. By afternoon at them temperatures, you're still going to have 4 or 5 inches of ice, but it's going to be deteriorated, honeycombed. Air bubbles, water draining through it, that's when the ice is bad. It's time to not be out there or get off. So,
what are some of the things people need to look for?
You mean on the ice?
Yeah,
or,
yeah. Just in general.
Well, I mean, if you see birds, ducks, geese, and you'll see them this time of year, a lot of them didn't even go south. You'll see birds in the open water spots. If you see something that's real dark, darker than the rest of the ice, that could be open water.
Wow.
The darker it gets, the less the ice is. If there's ice that looks a little cloudy or a little bit of snow on it, that's in general, that's some safer ice, at least for walking.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes the Coast Guard says they don't recommend anybody driving a vehicle on ice just to kind of cover all their bases, I think, right?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what have you seen, even with like the ATVs and everything, that have gotten so popular, it's unbelievable these days. Used to be snow machines, right. You know, snowmobiles to get you out there.
Right.
But these things are heavier now too, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. They'll go anywhere between 1,200 pounds for the lighter ones up to 2,900 pounds for the heavier ones. So if you think you can skid along the ice, an old snowmobile from the 70s only weighed 400 pounds.
Yeah.
You have these heavy machines. A tired machine will fall through before a tracked machine. It displaces the weight differently.
What would you say? Like I said, I always lived by the Big Al Sampson credo of keep the window open, hand on the door. And like I said, he carried
the spud.
The spud, yeah,
right.
Exactly. What are some of the things you would recommend for people if they were thinking about ever going out this year?
Well, what we didn't have 30, 40 years ago was cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's got a cell phone now. Make sure it's charged. Most of them are waterproof now. Even if you fall in, that cell phone will still work. Make sure it's charged. Otherwise, you're going to need your best thing is a spud to check the ice and some type of float suit or life jacket. You know, the bibs and the jackets, they will float you. Yes.
How long can a person last in the water? And that's an open question because it could be 20 below or it could be 20 above, and
right.
It's a big difference. But in general, before exposure and hypothermia and things like that could hit a person?
Well, you could, if you have the right clothing on, you could be in there for 35, 40 minutes, even an hour, you know, and still be okay.
Wow, okay.
If you don't have much on, within 10, 15 minutes, you're in trouble already.
Wow, this is interesting stuff. It's life-saving stuff.
Yes,
it is. It's something I think needs to be talked about more.
Yes.
To be honest with you, we're Tom Jerzwicki, Bayside Ice and Recovery out of Suamico, but they'll take care of all of Northeast Wisconsin. We're going to talk a lot more about this when we come back. Okay, Tom?
Okay.
Thanks, buddy. Mind of the Mayor Show, back right after this.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in and tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-878-6993. 800-878-6993. 800-878-6993.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey, welcome back. Mono and the Mayor here. The Mayor a little under the weather again today. Tom Drzewicki, Bayside Ice and Recovery, is joining us. This is something I've always been fascinated in, and I don't mean in a morbid way, but just in a scary sort of way, that something can be so wonderful. I've had wonderful times ice fishing, just fantastic times, but there have been so many times, especially having been in the media for so many years, where you hear about the tragic part of it.
Yes.
And if somebody, can you just talk through what happens? Let's say somebody's got an ATV and they're out on, you know, Longtail Point or something, and it goes in about 6 feet of water. What's the protocol from there, Tom?
Well, the old just four-wheelers, they were opened as like a snowmobile. You fall in.
Jump off.
You jump off. With a lot of these new UTVs, they have doors on them. And some of them have these hard cabs. They're very comfortable. You could turn on the winter heat in the winter, AC in the summer, the stereo, very comfortable. But these some of these newer UTVs, I do not like the door systems. These door systems, a lot of them have the handle behind you, where your natural reaction to open the door is towards the front. Any car, truck, you know, in the last 70, 80 years has the door handles.
For a reason.
Yes. And some of these UTVs have a design flaw where to get that door open. Now, say you're in 5 feet of water, your UTV is 6 feet high. You try to open that door and the handle's behind you. You go to open the door hits the ice. You have to either crawl out the back window or pop out the front windshield. Some of them pop out. My suggestion is take the doors off and leave them at home. Turn the heater up and take the doors completely off.
Wow.
If you have 2 feet of ice and there's ice all over, that's a different story. But if you have anywhere a foot of ice or less, leave them doors at home on shore.
And you know what? You don't have to deal with 20 feet of water. You don't have to be up on a Sturgeon Bay and the channel or something. 5 or 6 feet of water can be deadly.
Yeah, most of your vehicles that fall through are shallower water because there's less ice in that shallower water than the deep water, unless you're talking about a pressure crack. Then it doesn't matter.
When you talk pressure cracks, is that like when a big ship goes through and it'll, you know, just kind of reverberates all the way down? It might be half a mile away, but the crack starts?
Well, some of the cracks are naturally formed. You'll see them on bigger bodies of water. Green Bay, Winnebago, where it's actually a good ice season, and when it warms up or the ice contracts, it will make cracks in the ice. Someday they'll push together, the next day they will push apart. So that's something that
ice is always moving in some ways, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's not static. It's dynamic.
You will hear it. You can watch it. It's once it goes, you'll hear it from miles away. It'll sound like an earthquake out there.
I've heard it. There's one time we were out and I heard it, and that scared the crap out of you.
Oh, yes. If you haven't been out there to witness it.
Yeah, it's really something.
Right.
So when you arrive on the scene of something, Tom, what do you guys do? How do you get those things out of there?
Well, in the old days, I've had a pontoon rig, which I invented years ago. I have about three of them for different size vehicles. We used to push this stuff out there by hand and pull it in with a long line. Well, about 10 years ago, we started incorporating airboats into our operation, where we strap the front of the pontoon rig to the airboat, and we basically drive right over the top of what fell in, snowmobile, four-wheeler, UTV, full-size vehicle. Sometimes we can't really use the airboat on it, but once we're over the top of the vehicle, we have four cables that come down and we lift it straight up.
Wow. What are the, are there DNR regulations about how much time somebody has to get something out of the water?
They say they want it out right away.
Right.
The law says about 30 days to get it out.
Oh, that much?
Yes. They give you a little bit of time.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
Right.
Is there a fine that you know of or no?
There's fines if you don't do nothing. There's people,
okay.
There's people that just don't have the money or the cash and they kind of walk away from their stuff and try to forget about it, but the DNR is not forgetting about it.
Well, that's because of pollution if it's got oil in it, obviously.
Right, oil, gas, transmission fluids, yes.
Wow. Now, you've told stories where you know of guys that have lost almost everything, and about 2 days later, they'll be back out again with new stuff?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that didn't bother them a bit.
Doesn't discourage them?
No.
Wow. Let me ask you this. So when somebody does experience something like that, I would think if you're in that water, that's got to be a traumatic experience. I mean, there's... Just from trout fishing where I've gone under, stepping in a beaver hole or things like that, and that water hits you, it's like, whew, almost paralyzes you at first.
Right, right.
What do you do when you get out there and something like that has happened? Do you always know what the outcome is going to be, so to speak, by the time you get out there?
You mean for the person?
Yeah.
Let's explain that again, John.
Okay. I mean, once you get out there, I mean, the life-saving people have already been there, right?
Yes. They've already rescued the guy or the guy did a self-rescue. And when we go out there, it's usually the next day or a couple days later, and then we take care of everything else. So
do you guys have enough power to lift up like an F-150 truck?
Oh, yes, we do.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And we've already done full-size crew cab trucks with 10-foot Boss snowplows on the front, all diesel. You know, some of these vehicles are with that plow on there could weigh 8,000 pounds. They come up slow, but we get them up.
That's incredible. Yeah. Are they ruined then?
Some of the new ones, they totaled them out because of the electronics.
Right. That's what I mean.
The old ones, you know, even 20, 30, 40 years ago, you pull them out, change oil, change a couple gear lubes, transmission oil, and you just start them up, and the next day, and you go.
No kidding.
Right.
That's incredible. You know, one thing I always used to see it on Winnebago, and I know you don't deal with Winnebago that much. It's almost its own separate entity with the way that's surrounded by the little communities. But
but
I remember they'd always have the Christmas tree lanes.
Yes.
Do people still do that, like some of the sportsmen clubs and everything?
On Green Bay, they don't.
Okay.
Now, them trees, a lot of the tree roads on Green Bay were put out there by a commercial fisherman, and I am a commercial fisherman.
Okay.
But when GPSs took over, things stopped with the Christmas trees.
Okay.
Now, there might be some out there that some private people have put out there. Maybe, you know, up in Ocano just a few years ago, they still did it.
Okay.
But with GPSs, very little of that, but Winnebago is a whole different thing. It's almost like a highway system down there.
Yeah, I know.
And they kind of explain how the trees go and the way the trees are pointed and everything else. So that's a little different down there than up in Green Bay.
The Otter Fishing Club and all those people, they take that pretty serious.
Yes, they do.
Best advice you can give somebody, Tom, and you can give it, it's wide open right now. There's no ice anywhere, basically. Best advice you can give somebody between now and, let's say, St. Patrick's Day or whenever it goes out.
Well, whatever you see, what your buddy says, or social media says, Facebook or whatever, on ice conditions, unless you're checking it yourself, don't believe what they say, because there could be 2 feet, 14 inches in one place and 1-2 inches 20 feet away.
Okay, do you have to run real quick?
No.
Can I hold you over? Because I got a couple more questions I think are really important.
Yeah, no problem.
For people
yeah.
listening. This is okay, really John. Fascinating stuff. I really appreciate this. Like you said, this could be the difference between somebody having a great experience or a tragic one. Tom Drzewicki, Bayside Ice and Recovery. Back after this.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Israel is on high alert for an escalation of tensions with Hezbollah after a senior Hamas leader was killed in a Beirut drone strike. Former President Trump's legal team officially appealing to Maine's Supreme Court, trying to overturn the decision by Secretary of State Shenna Bellows to keep him off the ballot there. Bellows says she was just doing her job.
I reviewed the weight of the evidence in the hearing and made the determination that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment does apply to the president, and that the events of January 6th were not only tragic, but qualified as an insurrection, and happened at the behest of and with the knowledge and support of the outgoing president.
President Biden back from his New Year's trip. As the White House says, negotiations on border funding are moving in the right direction. Investigations underway into the fiery collision between a passenger plane and a smaller Coast Guard plane on a Tokyo runway earlier this week. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The names of six Republicans and one Democrat will appear on Wisconsin's presidential primary ballots for now. That list includes Donald Trump and President Biden. The Presidential Preference Selection Committee met Tuesday morning. Candidates who want to be taken off the list have until the 30th to say so. Candidates who want to be added will have to collect signatures to qualify. Wisconsin's primary is April 2nd. New higher sales taxes are in effect in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. Local officials voted for the increase last summer as part of a deal to increase the amount of shared revenue that state government returns to local communities. When combined with the state's 5% sales tax, consumers in Milwaukee are paying a 7.9% sales tax, and in the rest of Milwaukee County, it's 5.9%. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
It is going to be cloudy today with a little sunshine trying to poke through by mid to late afternoon. Our high today, 34, with wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear. We're going to drop down to around 14 overnight. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 27. On Friday, another cloudy day with a high of 33. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003. 125 games. 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app. The talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. this part of the show or want to share it with a friend, check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor under the weather a little bit today, trying to get rid of that cough that he's had for a couple of weeks that I think everybody in Green Bay has had this year. Tom Drzewicki, Bayside Ice and Recovery, joining us. Fascinating what you do for a living, Tom. And I know it's absolutely heartbreaking at times because you see the tragedy of what can happen with ice, which is such a scary thing. But tell me the respect people need to have for that and some of the things that are coming up with the shipping canals and different things like that that can really cause problems, whether it's 50 below zero or 50 above zero.
Well, what I've seen in the last few years, and this probably started happening 20, 30 years ago, in the old days, you listened to your dad and your grandpa, and they had a lot of knowledge out on the ice. Well, it seems like they don't listen to their parents or grandpa anymore, which is sad. Sometimes their parents or their grandpa are the ones that they don't know much about being out there either.
Yeah.
So that's kind of sad. The education part of being on thin ice or even going on the ice to begin with is changing. So
talk about a little bit like shipping. How does that affect ice?
Well, years ago, our shipping port, Green Bay here, was shut down pretty much, you could say, into December. No icebreakers, no anything, but now the shipping port is open. It's not year-round. They open the channel until the third week of January.
Okay.
So up until January, the third week of January, the icebreakers go through, the ships go through. It makes huge crack in the ice, and this ice is free to move around. Sometimes it will only move the 200 feet wide on the shipping channel where it's broke. Sometimes if the wind is just right and you have a 25-plus mile-an-hour wind, say from the east, southeast, south on Green Bay, you're going to get a whole chunk of ice that's cracked off. It could be 2 miles wide by 4 or 5 miles long, and it's going out to sea. And if there's fishermen on that chunk of ice, this happens every year, 3-4 times, all the way up into Door County, it cracks off, and you're kind of married to getting a ride in with either the Coast Guard helicopter or their airboats, DNR, Sheriff's Department. You know, it's a lifesaver having these airboats and these helicopters out here.
Because that thing can just reverberate then too, can't it, once those things go through?
Yeah, once that ice starts moving, it will go. And maybe 3-4 days later, that ice comes right back where it was. And people go right back out there, and there they are.
Wow. Heading into what was normally the real, you know, hot spot for ice fishing season after the holidays. Everybody's excited to get out of the house. You're, you know, going a little cabin crazy and all those kinds of things. Early ice. Tell me about early ice, because that almost seems like people respect it because it's early ice, but they don't respect the other parts as much, like you said, about the honeycombed and different things like that. So tell me about the early stages of ice.
Well, early ice, we call it black ice, which is cold, cold ice when it's like 0 degrees. You know, I'm not going to say an inch of ice can support your weight, because theoretically it can. So stay off.
Theoretically.
Yeah, stay off it. But, you know, 2 inches of early ice is structurally stronger than honeycomb ice in March, where it rained, the sun is shining on it, the water's draining through it. So early ice is your strongest ice. But as ice is forming, you know, you might have 2, 3, 4, 5 inches, but there's also going to be areas of open water. So, like on this particular winter, we're supposed to have 0 degree weather, not every day, but it's here. This winter, we're not.
It like loses its integrity, doesn't it, over time?
Yes, it does.
The ice, yeah. But now, when people go out, are there warning signs for them to look for where it's like to the point of, okay, you know what, I'm going to turn this thing around, I'm going back to shore?
Yeah, like I says, if you see birds swimming in open water, you see something real dark. It's if you've been on the ice your whole life, you can kind of see what's in front of you. The snow and the slush will cover up some bad spots. If you're on the pressure crack and you see snow and slush, you know, that crack, it appears to be maybe a foot, 2 feet wide, but on each side of that crack, you could have 10, 15 feet of bad ice on each side of that crack. So,
how many recoveries do you do in an average year, Tom?
On an average year, I might do 10, 11, 12. We've had years we've had 25. We've had years we've only had 3 or 4.
Wow.
So every year is a little bit different.
Is there generally anything you see that causes one to be more extreme than the other?
You mean weather or recoveries?
Weather-wise, you know, it's like, oh, this could be a bad year or this could be a good year.
And
by bad, I mean you have to do a lot of recoveries. I mean, it's the job you do, but you would rather just not go out at all, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, you know, you're kind of like a doctor or surgeon.
Yeah, when needed.
You don't want to see people get sick, but when they do get sick, or they're there to help. And that's kind of how we are. We don't want to see anybody put their life in danger, but when they have a bad day, we're there to help them out.
Tom, you mentioned people like not being able to get that information from their father or their grandfather, right? Learn the ice and all that kind of stuff. And the larger vehicles, has there been an increase over, let's say, the last 10 years of vehicles going in over maybe before that?
Well, what I've seen, like snowmobiles years ago, snowmobiles have skis, they have a track. You can go over some pretty thin ice, you know, inch, 2 inches of ice, and just skip right over it. It's like, oh, I made it across that one. Now these UTVs that
we're... Okay, let me just say, so I go back to like the real early days of snowmobiles. Okay, my family was huge into it. My brother's a racer and everything like that. And there were guys, we'd go out on a Sunday or whatever, and I was young, I was like 10, and they would tell me my little Polaris Colt 16 horse.
Oh, yes.
And we'd go through these areas where there was like a little bit of an inlet, a little stream coming in.
Oh, sure.
And they said, really give her.
Water skipping.
Exactly. Okay, hey, when you come up to me, just give her.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, what if I don't? Nope, just give her.
If you know how to do it, it's fun.
Yeah. Exactly. But that's what they literally used to say, give her.
Right.
Yeah.
So now there's a lot less snowmobiles out there because of our winters, but more people with UTVs. Well, a wheeled vehicle being that heavy, they're gonna fall through where that snowmobile probably made it through.
Yeah. Are they salvageable or are they shot once they go under?
You mean the UTVs?
Yeah.
They're pretty salvageable.
Okay.
They are pretty waterproofed.
Oh, really?
You'll see, depend all the manufacturers. I mean, you'll see guys driving these things right up halfway up the windshield, and if that air box still has air in it, it's running. So,
wow.
So that they are pretty waterproof. So when they fall in, they can pretty easily be dried out.
Okay, one back then, I'm sorry if I keep going back to this guy, but this guy was my guru for a lot of things about stuff around here. Al Sampson, if fog started rolling in, or if it started a light snow and he lost sight of shore, pack up, let's go, we're out of here. Nowadays, like you said, you get GPS and different things, but in those days, there was nothing worse when you lose visibility on the ice, is there?
Right. I'm going to make an example. This happened a couple of years ago. I think it was walleye weekend on Winnebago, and there was a blizzard that went through. It didn't snow much, but it kicked up to 50, 60 miles an hour, zero visibility. There was people panicking, driving around, I think anywhere between 7, 8 plus vehicles fell in pressure cracks where they should have just sat there, called their wife and says, okay, I'm going to be a few hours late. I'm staying on the ice until this little snow squall goes through and the visibility clears up.
How long ago was that, Tom?
couple of years ago.
Okay, because I remember, I'll tell you the reason I say this, and we'll talk to Dr. Kristen when she comes in as well. They were having a fat tire bike race on Winnebago.
Okay.
I don't know if it was in conjunction with Walleye Weekend or whatever it was.
It could have been.
But some people had GoPros, and I actually did a story on it where it was just like, you had no idea what direction you were heading.
Right.
You didn't have a compass.
Right.
I mean, it was just a whiteout on the water.
You're better off just sitting in your truck. We got a half a tank of gas. We can sit here till morning if we want. That's the best thing that they should have did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Do you go out for fun and recreation at all on the ice, or do you see it as such a, type of thing?
I'll do a little bit of snowmobiling.
Okay.
But not as much as I used to.
Okay.
I don't sport fish.
So, okay.
But I'm out there a lot.
Yeah.
I live right on the bay, so it's everything is like right in front of me.
But you get all the respect in the world for it, don't you?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, last thing then, heading again, once again, when we do, and you know it's inevitable unless the world has changed that much, we're going to get ice, going to get early ice. People are going to be chomping at the bit to get out there. Just the do's and the don'ts, just one more time, Tom, if you don't mind.
Well, early ice, you know, you want that cell phone. This is if you're walking, that cell phone you want, that float suit could save your life, the spud bar, your ice picks that you put around your neck for a self-rescue.
Yeah, explain those.
These have been around since probably, for all I know, hundreds of years, where the old fishermen would take two pieces of wood, put some ice picks in there, they wrap around their neck, and if they fall through, they can self-rescue.
That way they got something to latch onto and pull themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
And one thing I want to stress, if you're walking on that ice, you have to tell yourself, am I physically capable of a self-rescue, or am I married to the Coast Guard, DNR, Sheriff's Department, somebody to rescue me, a dive team? That's bad.
So what do you mean by self-rescue? Well, what do you need? Do you mean physical shape?
Yeah, if you fell through the ice, do you think you can physically get yourself on top of the ice?
Okay.
I mean, are you 19 years old and weigh 118 pounds, or right. are you 320 pounds and 65 years old?
Right.
There's a big difference there.
Right. I think, John, you and I both should stay off the ice. What do you think?
Can I be honest with you, Todd? Yeah. Not you so bad, but Jim and I have visualized. I just visualized. When he said 65 years old and 320 pounds, yeah. I visualized Jim and I trying to get out versus you. Yeah.
That's a good point.
That's a great point.
I didn't think about that, but that is a great point.
Well, the exertion that it takes is incredible.
Yeah.
Isn't it, though?
Now, we fell through dozens of times, but we wear dry suits and part of our scuba gear. But if you fall in, they're pretty buoyant, and you just pretty much pop yourself back up on top of the ice. But even when you fall in, sometimes every muscle in your body contorts, and like the next day you'll wake up, it's like, I can't even move because every muscle in my body contorted to a direction it's not supposed to go.
Do you dive, Tom? Do you actually go down?
Yes.
You're the guy that goes down. You don't have some 24-year-old kid who does it, huh?
No, we do it. We have a few guys in our arsenal that will dive for us.
Okay.
And we most of these recoveries are in shallower water, so there's not a lot of diving,
right.
You know. So, but every once in a while when you have to put the gear on, yeah, we go.
And you don't freeze to death in there?
Well, you're cold, but usually on a commercial dive, your adrenaline is kind of pumping. And
how long can you stay under?
Well, your air will last you 45, 50 minutes if you need to be, but a typical dive might only take 4 or 5 minutes, you know,
okay.
for hooking up a vehicle.
Are there still vehicles in the bay?
Oh, I'm pretty sure there is, because every once in a while, you'll hear stories from people from 30, 40 years ago. Yeah, we dumped a vehicle in, and it's still out there.
Unbelievable.
You know? So, yeah.
Wow. How the world has changed, huh?
Yes.
Wow. Interesting stuff, Tom. Tom Drzewicki, Bayside Ice and Recovery. One last quick thing. If somebody goes out their ATV and they go through, should they have your number handy, or do they call the Coast Guard first? How does that work? Or Sheriff's Department?
Well, the DNR likes to be informed if there's something in a lake. I mean, it's not necessary. If it's something simple, they could call me. Sometimes if they call the DNR Sheriff's Department, they have my number.
Okay.
So, yes.
They get hold. So basically, the basic 911 call would be the best number to call.
Yeah, dispatch sometimes.
And they'll find you.
As my stuff, yeah.
Wow. Tom Drzewicki, I just find this fascinating. Bayside Ice and Recovery and... I could just imagine some of the calls you've gotten at all hours of the day and night, and you drop what you're doing, you run out there to try to help people. That's pretty amazing.
Yes, yes.
But the number one thing, like we said before, you'd rather they never have to call you.
Right.
All right. My friend, thank you so much.
Okay.
Let's keep in touch, okay?
Glad we could be
here.
It's
a great service that you do. Bayside Ice and Recovery. Tom Drzewicki, thanks so much for joining us. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be joining us back after this. Set me free. I always wanna be by your side.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Ho, 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 I need a window.
Baby, it's cold outside.
So where do I go? Ho,
come on,
ho.
Santa. Go to Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Put no money down, no payment, and no interest for up to 18 months.
Pella now, pay later.
That's right, Santa. Plus, our elves install year-round and in as little as one day. Offer ends December 31st. Schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. and click on the Careers tab.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Thanks to Tom Drzewicki, Bayside Ice and Recovery. I find that stuff fascinating and scary all at the same time. Hello, Dr. Kristen. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, when I was talking about that video and I did that story on people out there biking on Winnebago in the middle of an unbelievable blizzard, were you one of those people?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. No, I wanted to. My whole family is from the Lake Winnebago area, like, you
so
know,
you guys
east of
know
the lake.
It. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, they do. I didn't grow up there. I grew up in Kaukauna, but I've always wanted to bike across the lake, and they had a frozen, I don't know that they do it anymore, though. The last couple of years, they haven't done
it. I don't
it.
Know, because I did a story, like I said, the time on the guy who was doing it, and he had the video from his GoPro, and it was unbelievable. I mean, like whiteout out there.
People, I think, regardless, because it's a big lake.
Oh, it's huge.
So you get out there and you kind of lose direction, and you get disoriented.
That's the scary part, because you don't know if you're heading towards shore, heading towards open water, or which direction you're going.
My cousin used to ride his motorcycle out there.
Come on.
Seriously.
All the way across?
I don't think so.
You come from a tough family, I think, though.
Tell me about it.
Mm-hmm. How are you? How are your holidays?
They were good. I was working.
Good.
Yeah, I was. So
you're
I was
up in Hibbing.
I was. And I went to Virginia.
Ah!
And there were people out on the ice on that little lake in the middle of Virginia.
No kidding. Right there in the middle of town.
And there was open water. It was scary.
I used to work at the Holiday gas station right across from that. And you'd get that wind coming across that lake at night, and it was just, like, unbelievably cold. But you showed me that picture, or you posted a picture where I believe I had a broom ball tournament one time on the outdoor rink, because we always play outdoors, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And nothing for Hibbing, Minnesota. Nothing. That's unbelievable.
They don't even know what to do up there, because this was the third time in history that Duluth had a green Christmas.
And, you know, outdoor ice time is so hard to get up there. You know, the younger kids were out there at like 4 a.m. at the arenas. That a lot of teams still practice outside. In fact, there were, I think it was War Road, Minnesota, still had the big outdoor rink and everything like that. It was so classic, but you just can't do it these days right now, can you?
Hockey is everything up there, but no, everything. I mean, the weather is crazy. It did snow the day after Christmas, but I mean, it's
unbelievable.
It's just, this is a crazy winter.
Unbelievable. So, okay, Jim lies. You know that, the mayor lies. Okay.
All the time.
All the time.
Pathological.
Pathological. Politically pathological.
Jim, I'm kidding. I love you.
When it comes to his weight.
Oh. Sensitive subject.
True or false, Todd?
He's not very forthcoming. Let me just say that, right?
Wait, where's the scale? We've got data.
It's back there.
It's back there in the corner.
Yeah.
Let me just blow the dust off of it.
Okay, so here's mine. I put on, because I've been walking a bunch. I did 11,000 steps one day and everything.
That's amazing.
Yes, thank you. And I was down to 226, uh-huh. which is good. And then the day after New Year's, I was like 235, which is not good.
This happens. This is like, yeah.
So I was like almost okay with it. So here's my goal. You want to know what my goal is? Oh, one of them is...
Is this a resolution or a goal?
A goal.
Okay.
I'm going to walk for the year. I'm going to walk at least 1 million steps.
Whoa.
Yeah. Well, Jim said that's only like... Jim, he scoffed at it. That's nothing. That's nothing. Anybody can do that. That's 27 steps a day.
I haven't done the math.
2,700.
Something like that. Pretty close to that.
Oh, that's totally doable.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But another thing, though, is every day...
Uh-huh.
I don't care how little it is. I want my scale to read a tenth of a pound less. You know what I'm saying? It's like just every day, I want it to be just a little bit less. Every day, every day, every day, every day.
We all want that.
Because that way, then I'll lose like 300 pounds.
I think that's dangerous.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, because okay. Your weight fluctuates. It fluctuates based on hormones. It fluctuates based on what you've eaten and how much salt you've had and how much water you're holding on to. So I think personally for me, I haven't gotten on a scale in ages because I get kind of like obsessed about it and it makes me feel bad. When I see that number and it goes up, it makes me feel bad.
Why is that? Because I'm the same way. When I finally get in the mindset that I want to lose weight, I obsess about it.
Yeah.
Obsess about it. I'm on that scale like twice a day.
Everybody is, I think. I mean, once you're really... You know, you roll up the sleeves, say, I'm going to do this. You want to see results so fast.
But is it really about the number or is it about how your clothes fit you and how you feel?
The number.
Yeah, good point. Good point. I am a firm believer in that, though. It's like if you put on a pair of jeans you haven't had on for a while and you've lost weight, it's like, oh, that feels like success.
Yes.
That really does. That feels like success. So I'm all for that part of it. But one of the things that, and again, we're not really making resolutions, right, Todd?
Right. No.
No. It's just going to be our whole new lifestyle for 2020.
Do you look to Todd to guide you for your future? Are you like John's guru?
Yes.
Wow.
We're not making resolutions, right, Todd?
Let's put it this way. He's the adult in the room.
That's
not
even
a question.
I know that's true.
Yeah, not even a question. Yeah. So that's the key. But
wait, no resolutions? I think you made a resolution to walk 1 million miles. That's a resolution.
Steps,
sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. 500 miles.
Yes. That is a serious goal.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's go.
Because I will say this. I when I was really into the walking thing uh-huh. and counting the steps, I enjoyed that because I'd never done that before.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's always like, how many miles did you run or walk or how many minutes did you do it? But there's something about steps.
Yeah.
That's like, it's easily accountable. It's like, I could walk 50 more steps and there's 50 more steps. I like that. I like these. Is it a pedometer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pedometer, P-E-D.
Pedometer. Mm-hmm. I like these. I think that breaking it down into steps really gives you a little bit more encouragement than, oh, I can't do a whole another mile or whatever. I think that's a cool way of doing it. So hopefully that's going to stay with me.
You can do this.
Yes. Yes. I'm going to lose 34 pounds. So I'm going to get under 200 pounds. What? That sounded discouraging. Now, everything was going so good for a while.
I'm not trying to discourage you. I want it for you so bad.
You know who you just sounded like, Todd?
Jim?
No.
Okay.
No. Worse.
Who?
The girl at the check-in at the movies last night.
No.
Did you hear about that?
No.
I had a come to Jesus moment that I'm that old guy who's annoying to young people on the other side of the counter. I didn't know you could choose your own seat in a movie theater.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And she kept telling me, green is open, white so-and-so, red is so-and-so. Okay. sir, what? Green is open, white is so-and-so, red is so-and-so. Okay. Are you going to choose? I go, now? I'm not even in there yet. Swear to God. Dr. Kristen in the house. Back after this.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.